You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. James Comey defied authority as the FBI director. I said yesterday, I'll say it again today, without the footnotes, to me, not much of a story. You have a moral obligation to defy unlawful orders, okay? So without any footnotes, what were the circumstances under which he defied? For instance, he would have been absolutely correct when he was told not to label the investigation into Hillary Clinton an investigation, but to talk about it and call it a matter. He would have been completely within his responsibilities as the director of the FBI and his oath of office by saying, I won't do that. Would he have been insubordinate? Yes. So without the footnotes, so we'll see. I've had a number of conversations with friends about how disturbed they are at this stuff, that this unsettles them, that this discussion of the quote-unquote deep state, people that put their hands on the scale of justice and manipulate it, that they can't be trusted, is very, very disturbing. So, who's legit? Who tells the truth in Washington, D.C.? Nobody? It's all a relative game, depending on what side you're on? Pretty disturbing. Pretty disturbing. And Mr. Comey, for me anyway, and Andrew McCabe looks to me of the same ilk. Pretty boys, went into the FBI. I don't think they came from offices they're administrators, and they get brought in for those purposes to run the FBI, not to be FBI agents per se, right? And they're part of the political game that gets played. And to me, they should get what they should get what they get. Andrew McCabe evidently is negotiating for immunity. Screw that. If he didn't live up to his oath, don't give him immunity. Send him to jail for something. Maybe it's less than you could. And maybe because you won't have his testimony, you can't convict Comey of something that you would like to. So Comey has to plead to a lesser offense. Make them both. They betrayed their oath. And I don't mean for venial sin, something bullshit. But I mean that they deliberately misled the American people. Now, to me, get them both. And even if you can't get them for even, and I see this as a problem in military justice. You know, get them for what you can get them for. Don't grant immunity to people that are guilty. So anyway, just a thought. As we get going here, we're going to talk about a unilateral ceasefire in Afghanistan. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? So we'll talk about that in a few minutes. Also, the Chinese have warned us about flying B-52s through international airspace. So we'll talk about that. There was a story that harkens back to an event in San Diego that was much worse, but a company commander, stole an M113, so an Army Vietnam-era armored personnel carrier, and drove it for about 60 miles through Northern Virginia into Richmond, I think it was the city. But you see company commander, like you expect it to be disaffected maintenance guy, had the key to the motor pool, gets in, blah, 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 blah. So, but reminiscent of an incident in San Diego when I believe it was a Marine reservist who did about that. He went in and got an M60 tank from the tank park in San Diego. And he took off on it through the streets of San Diego. Yeah, you know, I mean, and if you've never seen the video of it, check it out. You know what it, an M60 tank looks like driving through a Winnebago? Like, the Winnebago's parked, and there's nobody in it, and he, yeah, let me tell you, there ain't much to a Winnebago. And you're watching it, and you're just like going, holy shit, look at that. Ultimately, it gets hung up on a median, one of those medians that go, what, about hip high? And in San Diego, it gets high-centered, the tank does. And I want to say police officers or highway patrol officers hop up on the tank and ultimately shoot the driver. So, they were, you know, it's like, well, what do we do? And there was thought that we would have to, you know, that all of a sudden, you know, what can kill this tank? You know, or do we just let it drive till it runs out of gas? Well, you know, what can kill it is up at Camp Pendleton. Do we arm a helicopter? Right? Do we arm a helicopter and then whack the tank? In the United States. So anyway, reminiscent of that. So we'll talk about that. And then there's a story in Early Bird that's a little bit interesting. And we'll get to that as well. Had lunch with an interesting guy yesterday, and he's a writer. He made a movie, and so former Marine. So talk about that. as we get going today. So good morning to you on a Thursday, one more day till Friday. The United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. Dedicated today to again. Last night I did some reading, and June 6, 1944. I was a straight up baller day. So again, when you read about those guys who went ashore that day, and some of them never even got to shore, no small amount of courage to go forward and do the things that were done that day. And so all 74 years later, it is one of the great feats of American military arms. The opening a second front in Europe with all the ships and all the amphibious capability and everything that was required to sustain it. All of that got produced, got shipped to England, got staged to include deception stuff, and then it got ripping 74 years ago yesterday. D plus one today, there. So, this is dedicated to them. It was no small feat. It deserves a couple days. After that kind of intro, I hit the wrong song. Okay, so after that small feat, it deserves a couple days.
Can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, No enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination, because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, you know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's awesome.
Can you imagine, were you a Vietnam veteran, and you came home, and they told you to take your uniform off and don't talk about it and just forget about it?
I can't even imagine. I have so much respect for those guys.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Weather time in Marineland. Mostly cloudy and 70 in Quantico. Mostly cloudy and 80 at Camp Lejeune. Mostly cloudy and 83 in Granbury, Texas. Raining and 64 in Montana. They have a weather alert. I wonder if it's for flooding. Yeah, we're river flooding warning in Montana. It's not good, man. Floods, you don't recover from a flood for 10 years. Yeah, pretty amazing. Point Grand Palm, sunny in 71. Camp Pendleton, clouds in 61. Okinawa, dark cloudy in 82. Marja, 108 degrees in Afghanistan, late in the day. That's right, on their way to 115. I remember walking through Afghanistan. I don't know, we were walking someplace, and it was kind of, I don't know, maybe October. And so it was about 100 degrees out. And I remember talking with friends and saying, I never thought I would say this, but how could I ever think 100 degrees was hot? It's beautiful out here today. That's how hot it gets over there. Yeah. But it's a dry 125, okay? That's important. You need to remember that. It's 125, but it's a dry 125. Cloudy in 63. At the home of All Marine Radio, looking for a high of 72 degrees with partly sunny skies today. On Friday, 78, it's going to warm up, 78 and sunny. Saturday, 79 and sunny. So the sun is yet to kind of show up in Southern California. So we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll check news headlines here on a Thursday. Bob Nielsen is going to join us today, the patron saint of All Marine Radio. Somebody sent me an email earlier this week, and they said, hey, Mac, you talk a fair amount about transitioning, and you've been doing this for a couple years now. What are your major lessons? And so I figured I'd have Nielsen on. Nielsen has been helping guys transition. He's been helping guys start businesses. He's been helping guys find jobs. And so I figured we'd talk to him a little bit about that and a couple other things. So the patron saint, Saint Robert the First of All Marine Radio, will join us, and we'll talk about transitioning today. in 2 years of kind of talking and studying, what have I learned? And then we'll find out. Bob's been doing it, certainly helping guys a lot longer. We'll talk to him about it as well. So don't touch that dial. More Ball Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base?
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
It'll be kind of like being a pilot. You'll come out of college and you want a cyber guarantee. And we'll give you a cyber guarantee.
Great.
And then if you make it through the school, then you'll get qualified and that's what you'll go do. If you don't, then we'll
room in the grunt.
Make you an infantry officer.
Worked okay for you and
worked
me.
Out for so. You. Of course, everyone knows that the most intelligent, handsome people on the earth are infantry officers.
As this would convey.
Exhibit A and B.
That's right.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. Then you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted to fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh well, guess beggars can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music.
There is some crazy video of a tornado. I don't even know where the hell it was, in Wyoming or someplace. But it's on TV on the internet. And one of the things I've always found interesting about people from the Midwest is they are terrified of earthquakes, and they live in like tornado country. And they're like, oh, tornadoes! Like tornadoes, like annihilate stuff every year. Earthquakes, not so much. Yeah, but they, like, when you're in California and there's an earthquake, And there's the ground shakes a little bit. They're like, oh! Earth, but tornadoes? Like, oh, yeah, you know, they come and go, no big deal. Like, oh, really? You know, and when you see what a tornado does to a city, it's like somebody with a really big, like, shitty lawnmower, you know, with a blade that's not really good, drives through a city. It's just, you know, it's just annihilated. Yeah, hacked off and ripped up. And, yeah, it looks like it's a bad lawnmower drop right through the center of this path, right through an area of the city. So, yeah, if you haven't seen it. Wow. All right, so there's some stories, and they're not on Marine Corps Times, but I just wanted to touch on them a little bit. United States is investigating again, this time in China, why workers there are having health issues. Sounds vaguely familiar? Yeah. It happened in Cuba. What's going on? Why is this happening? So, talk about something a little bit concerning. That's happened again. So the United States is starting to investigate. Blah, 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 blah. So I saw that this morning. I thought, you know what? Like, who does this kind of stuff? Right? Who scrambles somebody's brain? So it'll be interesting. In terms of headlines this morning, China has warned the United States against provocations following B-52 flyby. So the Chinese, we dare infringe upon their emperor's new clothes parade. China lashed out at the U.S. on Wednesday after a pair of B-52 bombers flew past a Chinese-held shoal in the South China Sea amid escalating words and displays of military strength from the two major Pacific powers. Foreign Ministry spokesman Hua Chunying. Chinese names aren't that difficult to pronounce. Other countries? Tough. Warned the U.S. against, quote, hyping up militarization and stirring up trouble while promising that China would take all necessary measures to defend its sovereignty. The U.S., quote, doing whatever they want is risky and China will not be threatened by any military warships, Hua told reporters at a daily briefing in Beijing. This week's flyby near Scarborough Shoal, which China took from the Philippines in 2012, came after U.S. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis accused Beijing of intimidation and coercion in the South China Sea. China claims almost the entirety of the sea, resource-rich, that includes some of the world's busiest shipping lanes, despite overlapping claims from various neighbors, including the Philippines, Vietnam, and Taiwan. Speaking at a summit, and you heard his comments here, so now they're kind of reverberating through the world. Speaking at a summit of top security officials in Singapore last week, Mattis said China has deployed anti-ship missiles, surface-to-air missiles that landed nuclear-capable bombers on the disputed islands. He vowed that the Indo-Pacific would remain a priority theater for U.S. forces. Last month, China announced it had dispatched warships to drive away two U.S. Navy vessels sailing close to China, close, 12 nautical miles away, right, from these atolls that China stole from the Philippines, has fortified, and now claim as their own. That charade. But Secretary Mattis is expected to visit Beijing within the next month or two. So that'll be interesting. Next story. Kind of an interesting story because we've talked about this before, and that is communication on a near-peer battlefield. What does it look like? Once you blast the satellites out, do we regenerate those in some way, shape, or form? How do we talk? So we lose our data link, and then we just do World War II VHF comm? So is there something that replaces that, I guess, is the question. So the headline to this is Marine squads will get better, will get more range, better comms, thanks to Navy satellites. A Navy satellite system will help Marines communicate on the move and in previously difficult environments, such as heavy vegetations or urban areas. The Mobile User Objective System, or MOUS, probably, it looks kind of like mouse, except the O and the U are flip-flop, is a narrowband satellite system that provides smartphone-like capabilities to increase voice and data communication access, according to the Marine Corps Systems Command. The system provides more secure and reliable beyond line-of-sight communications, according to the release. Marines should see the first units arriving to the fleet later this year, and leaders are targeting operational capability in the first quarter of 2019. They don't say if that's fiscal year 2019, which would be October, November, December, or calendar 2019, which would be January, February, March. All right, so little things like that important to discriminating eyes like mine. The most obvious advantage to operating forces will be the increased accessibility, said Captain Sean Avery, MOUS project officer. Quote, this will allow us to explore new operating concepts by pushing on-the-move voice and data connectivity to the squad level. All five MOUS satellites in orbit are in orbit. The new hardware allows the satellite signals to focus on a smaller geographic area, which increases connectivity. So they can project the satellites to a certain part of the globe. Interesting. This improvement enables on-the-move access while improving overall reliability in vegetation, urban environments, and other extreme conditions where legacy SATCOM was challenged. Yeah, you lose them, right? They go into the jungle. No comm. Can't get through the double and triple canopy and you need to. Like a cell phone, the new system will be able to roam. I wonder if you'll get charged more if you're roaming on that shit, because roaming charges. Yeah, and you'll have to educate the Marines, like, because they'll see that shit. Do you want to roam? They'll be like, no, I don't want to roam. I'm going to get billed for that shit. Yeah, and then all of a sudden you see your next paycheck, roaming charges. U.S. Navy, $418,000, no pay due. What? Anyway, like a cell phone, the new system will be able to roam, seeking out signals as it moves from one location to the next, such as communicating in the continental United States, and then immediately deploying to another area. The system takes a lot of stress off the operators, allowing them to walk around on patrol without the range constraint of terrestrial radios. Now, okay, like, that's great. It's awesome. What happens in a near-peer war when we lose this shit? Users will now have access to the DSN network. Yeah, so you can make a DSN phone call. Hey, I'd like to call base information at Miramar. What's the weather like? Communicators can now. So, but again, what happens when somebody shoots at these things, right? We launched a space shuttle. It now has, like, rockets on it, right? And we have our space guys up there. They're flying around. Oh, there it is. And they shoot it. Bam. Big ball of space dust. Satellite 1 dead. So what happens when the Chinese or the Russians do that to us? And we can't talk anymore? See, the near-peer concept, I think this is all great. We're launching our own mobile, right, phone network. It's about time. What happens in a near-peer conflict, and does this go away? Do we have other satellites that we can launch in their other, you know, I don't know. Can we put up cell towers? Right? I don't know. I don't understand. So I gotta have somebody explain this to me. I've got a friend, but he's being difficult right now. Communicators can now have access and move more data more quickly in austere environments than before. So they've got a good cell now. The Navy's got its own cell phone network. Unbelievable. Until now, infantry companies had limited SATCOM access. But with this technology, officials say, the company commander can put Marines beyond line of sight with fewer worries about losing connectivity. Versions of mouse technology have previously been fielded with Marine units over the past 6 years, according to the news release. The ANPRC-177 Golf, whatever that is, that's a radio, just so you know. The system firmware will be updated, and three new antenna kits will be added for different operational configurations. Yeah, so it'll get updated just like your cell phone. That's awesome. But again, does it survive first contact? That's what we want to know. All right, so again, I'm interested in that. Sorry if you're not, but there's a reason that I run this program, okay? That's right. An article that I saw that I really don't understand, because I thought that death gratuity was paid out immediately. But the headline of the story in Military Times says, "Why wait? Advocates push fix for threat to military death payout." The government isn't headed for another shutdown this summer, but advocates want action now to make sure military families aren't hurt the next time a budget impasse arises. In advance of work later this week, the fiscal 2019 defense appropriation bill supporters are again pushing a measure to ensure death gratuity payouts are sent to the families of fallen troops even during the government shutdown. You know what? So is this an issue? Somebody gets killed fighting for their country, but, oh, we can't pay the death benefit. Sorry. Because we're having a budget issue. Come on. Yeah, exactly. Come on, man. Are you kidding me? Stupid. Stupid, stupid, stupid. This headline, I saw this, but again, I didn't think. A company commander? Like, what's going on? Company commander steals armored vehicle from National Guard base. Richmond, Virginia. An Army National Guard officer accused of stealing an armored personnel carrier, an M113, you saw him in Vietnam, from a Virginia base and leading police on a more than 60-mile, that would be 100 kilometers for all you Euros listening. You're welcome. Chase was given under the influence of drugs. Nice. Joshua Philip Yabut, 29, of Richmond, was charged with eluding police and unauthorized use of a vehicle, the Virginia National Guard said in a news release. The vehicle, which drives, it's a track vehicle, right? So it uses a track like a tank does, okay? But it's smaller. Kind of looks like a box. Alright, with the driver's compartment up front. It was stolen Tuesday evening from Fort Pickett in Virginia. Blackstone, Virginia, actually. Police chased it for about 2 hours at speeds as high as 40 miles an hour before the driver stopped and surrendered near Richmond City Hall to Virginia State Police. The guards said the personnel carrier was driven away during routine training at Fort Pickett and has been returned to the base. The vehicle wasn't equipped with any weapons, but Yabut had his personal weapon with him without any ammunition. Police said, so he was drunk while on duty? Police said an investigation is ongoing and declined to comment on a motive for stealing the vehicle, but said Yabut, Y-A-B-U-T, was under the influence of drugs when he was arrested. The guard said Yabut is a first lieutenant assigned as company commander of the 276th Engineer Battalion and has more than 11 years of service. He deployed to Afghanistan from 2008 to 2009 with the Illinois National Guard. Yeah, you might have a leadership issue. On Wednesday evening, phone call from Virginia Central Hospital, Yabut told the Associated Press he was authorized to take the vehicle on a pre-planned route as part of a training exercise to gauge police response. This is awesome. Yabut said his brigade commander, who he declined to name, told him to take the vehicle. The psychiatric hospital in Petersburg, Virginia, oh my God, said its patients include people receiving court-ordered mental health evaluations and treatment. Yabut also denied authorities' claim that he was under the influence of drugs during the incident. That's a big no with capital letters, he said. Holy shit. Who knew? Who knew? The Virginia National Guard is gauging police response by driving M113s through the streets. You can't make this shit up there, sports fans. There you have it. Wow. Honestly, that's amazing. Email. Mac, are you shitting me? You get whacked and your family has to wait? Yeah, evidently. Well, yeah, what a crock of shit, right? What a crock of shit. This is about the tank. I don't recall the San Diego dude being a Marine. I think he was a former Army Reservist. Let's not forget the Lance Corporal that took the A4 Skyhawks for a spin out of El Toro. That's, let me tell you, if you don't remember that, yeah, a Lance Corporal who was taking, like, flying lessons. Hold on, let me see that. Let me see if I can find that. Lance Corporal. F. It was an A4. F4 is different. F4's monstrosity. The Phantom. Lance Corporal. A4. Flight. El Toro. Marine. This story is awesome. Here it is. All counts dropped. A record-breaking young glider pilot, now an enlisted flight mechanic, took an unauthorized pre-dawn joyride Friday in an $18 million fighter jet based out of El Toro Marine Corps Air Station, officials said. He's identified as Lance Corporal Howard A. Foote, 21, of Los Alamitos. The Marine Corps said he donned a flight suit at 2 a.m. Friday, climbed aboard an unarmed A4M Skylark. He took off from an unlighted runway, flew about 50 miles, and returned to the base about a half hour later, officials said. They didn't know which direction he'd headed. By the time he returned, Lieutenant Colonel Jerry Shelton said the lights on the runway had been turned on, but it took Foote 5 passes to land. Foote was taken into custody, charged with wrongful appropriation of a government aircraft. Shelton said, a charge that carries with it a maximum sentence of 2 years in prison and a dishonorable discharge. He was taken to the stockade at Camp Pendleton. We don't have stockades, okay? We have Briggs. Who wrote this? Some army dude. Okay, so what's the rest of the story? Remember I've been telling you military justice is a joke? Here's the follow-up. Here's what Paul Harvey would call the rest of the story. All counts dropped against Marine for jet fighter joyride. All charges against an El Toro Marine corporal, so he was promoted. He was promoted while he was in the stockade, who took a jet fighter on a 4th of July joyride, have been dropped, and he will be discharged from the military today, the Marine Corps announced. This is November 7th, 1968. Quote, this was a very unusual case in which a Marine with a tremendous amount of skill and great potential did a very stupid thing, which could have resulted in the tragic loss of life, said Brigadier General D.E.P. Miller, commanding officer of the El Toro Marine Corps Air Station, in a written statement. Miller said the charges filed against Lance Corporal Howard A. Foote are very serious, and his lack of judgment and violation of trust make it impossible to keep him in the Marine Corps. However, I feel that 4.5 months he served in confinement, coupled with an honorable discharge, will adequately serve justice in the case. His parents were overjoyed. Shirley Foote said Thursday that she and her husband were very overjoyed that their son will be released today. When we heard it, we were jumping in the air, she said. She said she believed that her son went through, what her son went through was overkill on the part of the Marine Corps. I think they went overboard. It could have been handled a lot less detrimentally to both the Marines and our son. That's a mom, right? So, you steal a jet, you fly it over civilian areas, you're in no way, shape, or form qualified to fly the thing, especially if something, you know, goes wrong in the cockpit. And your mom says, I think they overreacted to this. Moms are awesome, right? At a hearing in August, an aviation maintenance officer at the base testified that the jet Foote flew was in need of repair. Major Frank B. Kennedy III testified that the aileron rigging on the plane was out of alignment and that the nose wheel steering mechanism was not working properly. From a maintenance standpoint, it was not a flyable airplane, Kennedy said. According to Foote's parents, he took the plane after finding out that an injury he suffered during an attempt to break the world glider altitude record would prevent him from becoming a jet fighter pilot, a goal that they said he had pursued since he was a young boy. The dismissal of charges and Foote's discharge come about as a result of long negotiations between the Marine Corps authorities and his defense attorneys. As part of the agreement, Foote wrote a letter of apology to Miller in which he said, quote, I realize now that my actions were not only foolhardy but downright dangerous. Even though I have some civilian pilot ratings and am qualified in a glider, this training is not sufficient for one to fly a high-performance military jet safely. Though I would like to repay the Marine Corps for the problems I have created, I understand that it would be difficult for the Marine Corps to take me back. Unbelievable. I wonder if I can track him down. Said he's from Los Alamitos, which is right up the road. All right, and let me get to the bottom. Since Ohio Man brought it up, I believe he's correct. Marine Tank San Diego 163, which is the highway that it high-centered on, where they shot the guy and killed him. Stolen tank. Yeah, if you haven't seen that video, and you want to know how sturdy your Winnebago is, watch what the hell happens. When I don't know how much an M60, how many tons is the M60 tank. I will communicate that to you in 1 second. M60 tank. Yeah, he drives over a few cars. He's just plowing shit over, and you're watching it. I was watching it live on TV. One second. What's it weigh? Wait. 46 tons. So 50 tons. 50 tons hits your Winnebago. goes up like a puff of smoke. All right. Here's from the Union Tribune, May 17, 2011. Thanks to the bravery of a San Diego police officer and the California High Patrol, no citizens are harmed. The video ending with that comment captures the devastation wrought on San Diego streets 20 years ago, Sunday. So what would it have been 20 years ago would have been 1991? No, stolen tank in 1995. When a man stole a tank from a National Guard armory in Kearny Mesa and plowed through vehicles, fire hydrants, tore up trees and lawns during a 25-minute rampage. The man who stole the tank, plumber Sean Nelson, eventually crashed into a freeway divider. Police officers hastily climbed on top of the tank and fatally shot Nelson when he refused to emerge and give himself up. Who is the guy? Tank rampage towards Sean Nelson, San Diego tank rampage. See, he's even got his own Wikipedia page, for God's sakes. A U.S. Army veteran, Ohio man, smokes it. An unemployed plumber stole an M60 patent tank from the United States Army National Guard Armory in San Diego, California, went on a rampage before he was shot and killed by San Diego police officers. Nelson was hospitalized in 1990 for neck and back injuries from a motorcycle accident. He sued the hospital for $1.6 million, citing negligence, assault, battery, and false imprisonment. A superior court judge dismissed the case. Hospital countersued for $6,600 in medical fees, legal expenses. Nelson claimed that he was forced to be treated without his consent. His wife of 6 years filed for divorce against him in 1991. Both of his parents died of cancer in 1992. Scott Nelson's brother, Sean, said that Sean became addicted to methamphetamine in the next few years prior to the incident. His neighbors complained to authorities of yelling at his roommate at night. Nelson then began to exhibit unusual behavior. On one occasion, he dug a hole 15 feet deep in his backyard in an attempt to mine for gold. In February 1995, he filed a notice informing the county of his plans to mine bedrock in his backyard. Nelson's fishing friend, Carson Honings, referred to the mine shaft as Sean's new hobby. Nelson's back and neck problems combined with a theft of plumbing equipment from his truck effectively halted his business. With no income, his utilities were cut off, and his house was in foreclosure. In April 1995, his live-in girlfriend died of a drug overdose. His brother Scott said of him, quote, "My brother was a good man. He'd help anybody. He just couldn't help himself." According to San Diego police, the week before the tank rampage, Nelson told a friend that he was thinking of committing suicide, and the following weekend told a friend that Oklahoma was pretty good stuff, in apparent reference to the Oklahoma City bombing, which happened a month earlier. Whether Nelson condoned the attack or simply meant that he enjoyed the drama is not clear. Police did not believe Nelson had any connection with the bombing or a terrorist group. At dusk on Wednesday, May 17, 1995, Nelson drove a Chevrolet van to the California National Guard Armory in the Kearny Mesa neighborhood of San Diego. Like it's like right in the kind of the north central part of San Diego. Although the gate to the vehicle yard was usually locked after 5 p.m., employees at the armory were working late and left the gate open. The vehicle yard was completely deserted. Nelson likely used a crowbar to break open the tank hatches. The tanks involved started with a push button and did not require an ignition key. The first two tanks he broke into would not start. As he lowered himself into the third tank, he was finally noticed by a guardsman who approached the tank. Nelson started the vehicle, and with little chance of stopping him, the guardsman rushed to a phone and called the police. As ammunition was kept in another building, none of the vehicle's weapons could be loaded or used by Nelson. Nelson led police on a 23-minute televised chase through the streets of Claremont. Yeah, it's like a sleepy neighborhood in San Diego with a tank rolling through it. So, there you have it. The rest of the story, times two. Sad. Mental health. We talk about it all the time. You know, it's one of the issues that the country's got to deal with. We don't like to deal with it because everybody's got their rights, right? You know, acting crazy is your constitutional right. Yeah, until you start rolling around town and, you know, an M60. Or until you go buy a weapon and start blasting people at schools. But we're pretty uncomfortable limiting the rights of people with mental health issues. I'm being reminded. Good morning, Mac. Did you say you were going to do a battlefield study on Belleau Wood? I believe you did earlier in the week. I look forward to it whenever you do it. What is that, a reminder? I say a lot of things on this program, boys. Don't get carried away. No, you know, I don't know that much about, I was reading about it over the weekend. The Battle of Belleau Wood, and which was commemorated, I think, this week. I want to say June 6th, if I'm not mistaken. And it went on for about a month. But the Commandant and a whole group of Marines from the units that fought there. So there was units from the 5th Marine Regiment, Marines from the 5th Marine Regiment that were there, and one of my sons was telling me that he talked to. Actually, he showed me a veil of that one veil had dirt in it from fighting positions that Marines of the 5th Marine Regiment fought in, and another veil had veil's not the right word, but like a little pill bottle had water from the Devil Dog Fountain that's there. So, but anyway, I don't know so much about it, you know. Huge in Marine Corps history. So I was reading about it a little bit, and what the hell did I read? Hold on. Let me see if I can find it. I'm like totally getting sidetracked from like the show. Belleau Wood, Marine Corps, Medal of Honor. Yeah, listen to this one. And it's not Daniel Daly either. Medal of Honor, gas mask. The Marine's name is Fred Stockham. Okay, S-T-O-C-K-H-A-M. Listen to this. And here's a picture of him. He was born on March 16, 1881 in Detroit, Michigan. He died on June 22, 1918 in France. A United States Marine who was posthumously awarded the Medal of Honor for his self-sacrificial valor during the Battle of Belleau Woods. Medal of Honor citation. During an intense enemy bombardment with high explosive and gas shells, which wounded or killed many members of his company, Gunnery Sergeant Stockham, it's a G slash, Gunnery Sergeant, he's a Gunnery Sergeant. He's with the 96th Company, 2nd Battalion, 6th Marine Regiment. Okay, fighting in Belleau Wood. Gunnery Sergeant Stockham, upon noticing that the gas mask of a wounded comrade was shot away, without hesitation removed his own gas mask and insisted upon giving it to the wounded man, well knowing that the effects of the gas would be fatal for himself. He continued with undaunted courage and valor to direct and assist in the evacuation of the wounded until he himself collapsed from the effect of the gas, dying as a result thereof a few days later. His courageous conduct undoubtedly saved the lives of many of his wounded comrades, and his conspicuous gallantry and spirit of self-sacrifice were a source of great inspiration to all who served with him. Like, are you shitting me? Yeah. And so I was reading, and I came across that. Fred W. Stockham, S-T-O-C-K-H-A-M. Think you'd do that? I don't know that I would. I'd do everything I could to help him. Would I take my gas mask, give it to somebody else, knowing that I was going to die? You know, again, there's this thing that I don't know. I don't know what movie it's in. It's in some movie that the Marine Corps shows, and you know, and there's this phrase like, "Where do we get such men?" And I don't know if somebody in the movie says it, but you hear that phrase consistently when you read about things like this. Like, where does that come from? You know, who was Fred W. Stockham from Detroit, Michigan? Yeah, pretty amazing. All right. I'm getting sidetracked by your emails. Let me just go through a couple more headlines, and then we'll take a break. Bob Nielsen's going to join us. U.S. forces will honor a one-sided ceasefire in Afghanistan. Okay, I saw this headline this morning, and I thought, whoa, what is that? So the headline said, Afghan ceasefire in effect. Anyway, the president of Afghanistan, all right, his name is Ashraf Ghani, all right. He declared a one-sided ceasefire. And give me 1 second. Because when I saw the headline, I got hopeful, right? And the headline I saw was this. It's in Reuters. Afghanistan announces eyed ceasefire with Taliban until June 20th. Afghan President Ashraf Ghani on Thursday announced for the first time an unconditional ceasefire with the Taliban, coinciding with the end of the Muslim fasting month, but excluding other militant groups such as the Islamic State. The decision came after a meeting with Islamic clerics this week who declared a fatwa or ruling against suicide bombings, one of which claimed by the Islamic State killing 14 people at the entrance of a cleric's peace tent in Kabul, the nation's capital. The clerics also recommended a ceasefire with the Taliban, who are seeking to reimpose strict Islamic law after their ouster in 2001, and Ghani endorsed those recommendations, announcing a laying down of arms until June 20th. Ghani has urged ceasefires with the Taliban before, but this was the first unconditional offer since he was elected in 2014. Quote, this ceasefire is an opportunity for Taliban to introspect with their violent that their violent campaign is not winning them hearts and minds, Ghani said in a statement released on social media after a televised address. There's no immediate reaction from the Taliban, but an international political analyst based in Kabul was unimpressed. It's a one-sided love story, he said. U.S. forces in Afghanistan said they would respect the ceasefire. Quote, we will adhere to the wishes of Afghanistan for the country to enjoy a peaceful end to the Islamic holy month of Ramadan and support the search for an end to the conflict, said General John Nicholson. He's head of U.S. forces in Afghanistan. All right. An Afghan general, former Afghan army general, Atikila Amarkal, said that the ceasefire would give the Taliban a chance to regroup, and he was not a fan of it. Quote, from a military perspective, it is not a good move, he told reporters. He also doubted the Taliban would lay down arms and deny themselves the opportunity of fighting during the holy month of Ramadan, in which attacks have intensified. So, anyway, my little heart went pitter-patter when I saw that headline, Much Ado About a unilateral hope. Top five stories in Early Bird, then we'll take a break and get Nielsen on number one. Army released a new vision statement. Here are three things soldiers need to know. All right. Let's see. In the coming decades, the Army will be prepared to fight high-intensity conflict with enemies with similar weapons in urban environments. So that's number one. I don't know what number two and three are. Two, company commander steals an armored vehicle from National Guard Armory. That story we talked about. Three, Air Force Academy busts dozens of athletes for hazing. Now some of them may not graduate. Four, we are headed for a cyber-Cuban missile crisis with Russia? Question mark. The risks posed by U.S. national security by what are believed to be Russian-backed hacking groups is similar to the October 1962 Cuban Missile Crisis, according to cyber brief experts. What? Okay. I'm not sure that's accurate, but whatever. Number five, CENTCOM reveals scope of the Yemen air campaign. There's a movement afoot in Yemen to bring a negotiated truce in which the Yemen rebels give up their ballistic missiles they're firing into Saudi Arabia in exchange for a cessation of some of the bombing going on in Yemen. So those are the top five. Biggest headline in Stars and Stripes, Afghan president, U.S. forces commit to week-long unilateral ceasefire with the Taliban. See, Stars and Stripes, they get it right. Stars and Stripes, yeah. That's why I'm a fan. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Bob Nielsen will join us. He of the 100 Entrepreneur Program and the patron saint of All Marine Radio. So don't touch that dial. More of him coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.